Okay, here we go. This is the Tawheed class, and today we're going to start a new topic. The topic is fighting against the shaitan. And really, we had a little introduction to this yesterday. Yesterday's lecture about the traps of shaitan was an introduction to this lecture. The purpose of this series of lectures for the next week is to hopefully teach you guys how to arm yourselves against the shaitan. And it's hopefully to teach you guys how to fight against the shaitan, because we just covered what it means to believe in Allah. We talked about allegiance to Allah and enmity towards those who oppose Allah. We talked about the meaning of the Shahada. So now the next thing we want to do is learn how to fight against the shaitan. We talked about the jinns. We talked about the angels. We talked about how each and every one of us who is born a human being, that which it means all of us, every human being has angels assigned to them and one jinn assigned to them when they reach the age of puberty. And we talked about the roles of those angels and the roles of that jinn. Well, now we're going to take it further and talk about how to arm ourselves against the shaitan. First of all, we have to understand that whenever Allah orders anything, anything pertaining to us, anything pertaining for us what to obey, shaitan takes two contradictory stances towards it. What this means is shaitan looks inside the hearts of each and every one of us to see how strong we are in our faith, how well rooted we are in our iman. If he looks in your heart and he sees that your heart is filled with loopholes, then he deals with you from this vantage. If he looks inside your heart and sees that your heart is alert and serious, then he deals with you from that vantage. And what this means is, for those of us who have hearts which are filled with loopholes, these are hearts that always question Allah. These are hearts that are filled with laziness. These are hearts that are filled with procrastination. These are people whose hearts are filled with doubt. When Shaitan notices these things in your heart, he will push you to become negligent, to become negligent in your duties to Allah. He will push you to not pray. He will push you to have sex with your wife in her anus, like the sister who was here was asking us. He will push us to do all kind of things like that if he sees that your heart is weak and filled with loopholes. On the other hand, if Shaitan looks inside your heart and he sees that your heart is strong, that your heart is sincere, that your heart is serious, you're not lazy, then what he will do is push you to become extreme. He will push you to fast and not stop. He will push you to pray and not stop. He will push you to think everything is haram. He will push you to think like this. He will push you to become an extremist. And as human beings and Muslims, each and every one of us, we fall somewhere within one of those two categories. Either you are negligent in your duties to Allah, or either you are extreme in your duties to Allah, and both are bad. Both are bad. An extremist is just as bad as a person who is negligent. The third course that you can fall in is the middle course. And this is the jihad, the struggle that each and every one of us have to go through daily, is to find that middle course. We have to understand that Shaitan's intention is to keep us away from the straight path by either making you an extremist or making you one who is negligent. The only way to escape this, the only way to escape this is by seeking knowledge of your religion, having faith in Allah, and staying along the middle path. The middle path. Each and every one of us should be within the middle path of this religion. You don't want to go too far out to the right, nor too far out to the left. You want to seek the middle course. So once a person understands, okay, Shaitan plays with us all. Either he's going to make me an extremist or a hypocrite unless I seek the middle course. The next thing the person says is, okay, well, how does Shaitan do these things? We have to understand that Shaitan has many ways and many means of getting to us. Remember, all of us has a jinn assigned to us. And what is the role of that jinn? That jinn's job is to take you to hell. That jinn will stay with you until you die, and he will tempt you to disobey Allah. That's his job. His job is to get you to commit sin, and Shaitan works at you through that jinn. Through that jinn. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, during your sleep, when a person goes to sleep, Shaitan comes and he ties three knots at the back of your neck. And he breathes the following. He tells you the night is long, so keep on sleeping. If the person wakes up and praises Allah, then one of the knots is unfastened. If the person makes wudu, another knot is unfastened. And when the person finally prays, all the knots are unfastened. So here you can see that even when we are sleeping, Shaitan comes to us. That's how powerful he is. He'll come to you even when you sleep. And he'll tie knots in your neck to try to get you to not wake up. He'll tell you the night is long. Go ahead, keep on sleeping. No need to get up for Fajr yet. It ain't time yet. You just laid down 5 minutes ago. Or you're tired. It's okay. Don't worry about it. He works on us when we're sleeping. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when one of you wakes up from your sleep, he should make wudu, and he should rinse his nose three times, because Shaitan stays in the upper part of a person's nose during the night. He stays there to try to get you to oversleep and miss your salat. In another hadith, a man once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, what do you say about a person who never wakes up for Fajr? And I'm going to tell you something. We had a person here last night. Last night, right here at the website. We had a sister here last night telling us that she cannot wake up to make salat. Well, this is the same scenario. A man came to the Prophet and said, what do you have to say about a man who doesn't wake up for salat? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man like that is a man whom Shaitan has urinated into his ears. So as you can see, Shaitan comes to us. He comes to us even when we are sleeping to try to get us to do haram, to commit sin. And what we have to do as Muslims is learn how to fight against him. Learn how to resist him. Look how many Jews or Christians have heard about Islam. And they want to embrace this religion, but Shaitan keeps them from doing so. He goes to them and tells them, no, don't become Muslim yet. Look closer into the matter. Learn a little bit more about the religion. So they keep saying, okay, I want to learn a little bit more. And they keep on putting off and putting off their shahada until finally they die. They die. And everyone knows for a person who dies, if a person dies having heard the truth of this religion, and he or she did not embrace Islam, that person will be in the hellfire forever. Forever. Okay? So we have to see here again as another example, guys, as to how the shaitan goes about his way trying to keep us from the straight path. The way for us to be as Muslims is to be energetic. You don't want to be a lazy person. A person that puts things off. A person that's too lazy to get up and pray. Too lazy to fast. Too lazy to go to the mosque. This is Shaitan. Again, Shaitan works on those people who are weak in their hearts. However, for the person who's energetic, you see a difference between they and a person who is weak and lazy. The energetic person does not put off praying. The energetic person knows that he never knows when Allah will take his soul. He can die at any moment. So the energetic person never procrastinates. He asks Allah to forgive him for his sins constantly, day and night. Because he knows his life is not guaranteed. That no one knows when Allah will come to them and take their soul. So again, we have to remember, guys, if you are going through these problems, like we have so many people joining this website, like this person here, instead of coming here, what this person needs to be doing is joining here, listening to the classes, learning how to increase her iman, learning how to build up her knowledge of her religion. Because Layla doesn't respond to MSN or emails about personal problems. What we need to do is educate ourselves about our religion and learn how to fight against the shaitan. Learn how to keep the shaitan away from us. Shaitan preys on people who are ignorant, ignorant of their religion, and lazy. You want to be a person who is strong and energetic. But again, even with that, you want to seek the middle course, because Shaitan will destroy the strong too by making them become extreme. So having understood this, a lot of people then ask, well, okay, I understand. I understand that Shaitan looks in our hearts. I understand that we have to find a middle course. But now tell me, how do we find the middle course? How do we stay within the guidelines of the middle course? We have to understand as Muslims, guys, the greatest weapon that we have as a defense against the shaitan is the Quran and the Sunnah. So how do we stay within the middle course? We stay within the middle course by following the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning. And he commands you, saying, this is my straight path, so follow it. Follow not other ways, lest you be parted from his way. This has he ordained for you, that you may ward off evil. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this verse to the Sahaba. He drew a straight line with his hand. And he said, this is the straight path of Allah. Then he drew another line to the right and another line to the left. And he said, these paths all have shaitan calling people to them. We have to stick with the Quran and Sunnah, guys. This is the way that you find the middle course. A lot of people ask me the question. This is the question I get every day. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of Muslims out there who are envious of other Muslims, especially envious of somebody who they think is doing something that they wish they can do but they can't do or whatever, for whatever reasons. One of the questions that a lot of people ask me is, Layla, how do you answer all these questions? How is it that you can sit there and answer questions about Islam and you give your dalil when there's other people who claim to be even more knowledgeable and they can't answer? I mean, seriously, I get this question a lot in emails. I've even had people leave the website. Seriously, guys, this is kind of sad. This website's been around for almost 5 years. I've had people come and go. I've had teachers come and go. The best teachers are the ones I have now, to alhamdulillah. But before Sheikh Atlee came to this website and brought these good brothers with him and scholars with him who he brought, I had other teachers here too. They all left here. You want to know why they left? Because they got angry because people would ask them questions about Islam and they couldn't answer. So the people would say, okay, we'll wait till Layla comes. Then when I come, they ask me the same question, I answer it. And of course, those other teachers were men, and of course, a man doesn't like a woman thinking. A lot of men don't like women to think that they know more than them or whatever. So a lot of these brothers left here from teaching. Seriously. And this is wrong. How do I answer these questions? It's simple. Stick with the Quran and Sunnah. How do you deal with life's problems? Stick with the Quran and Sunnah. Just like the person we had join here a few weeks ago, who was only here for 5 seconds and sat there and made a comment about Salat, that you got till 12 o'clock to make Isha, which is not true, okay? Didn't produce no evidence. But what did I do? I went and answered the question and sent the evidence from the Hadith, Sahih Muslim. It's in Bukhari too. If you stick with the Quran and Sunnah, guys, then you can't go wrong. If you stick with the Quran and Sunnah, nobody can make you look like a fool. If you stick with the Quran and Sunnah, nobody can embarrass you. If you stick with the Quran and Sunnah, you will never be led astray. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, two things I leave behind. Stick with those two things and you will never be led astray. That's the book of Allah and my Sunnah. And that's what I do. When I answer the questions, I answer them based on Quran and Sunnah. So who wins the battle? Me. Because I got the dalil from the Quran and Sunnah. While somebody else got a fatwa, which doesn't mean nothing. When the Prophet has spoken on an issue, that's the end of it. When Allah has spoken on something, that's the end of it. The only time we go to fatwa is if Allah is silent on something. Or the Prophet is silent on something. Or something is not clear. But if something is crystal clear, which most things are, by the way, guys, I don't care what anybody tells you. Most things in Islam are crystal clear. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that most things in this religion is either black or white. There are a few things that are gray. So as long as you stick with that black and white, you can never go astray. So it's just that simple. How do you answer questions about Islam? I refer to the book of Allah and the hadith of the Prophet. That's it. How do you deal with problems in your marriage? You look to how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with his. Look to the stories of the Sahaba. Look to see how the Sahaba, who were the best of all Muslims, how they dealt with their problems. How did a woman deal with her husband beating her back then? That's how you deal with him today. There's an example for us guys in everything, but all we have to do is look for it and read it. Okay? The greatest thing that we have as a defense against the shaitan is the Quran and the Sunnah. And Allah says in the Quran, anyone who follows his path, he will be on the right path. Anyone who obeys him and his messenger will be protected. Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, come all of you into submission unto him and follow not the footsteps of Shaitan, who is an open enemy to you. All we have to do, guys, is stick with the Quran and Sunnah, and there is our weapon against the Shaitan. There is our solution to our marital problems. There's our solution to how to deal with depression. Everything you find it in the Quran and Sunnah. You want to know what's haram? Don't come here and ask me, Layla, tell me all the things that's haram. We had a person join the website this weekend and ask us to tell them all the things that are haram. Go read the Quran, dude. Go read the Quran. What is haram, Allah has clearly defined for us. In his book or in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All you have to do is go and read it. You want to know how to deal with a crazy man who you're married to? Educate yourself about your religion. When that man sees that you know that you can divorce him, believe you me, he'll think twice before he do something worthy of your divorce. If that man knew that you knew that he couldn't rape you, he wouldn't be raping you. These silly questions that we've been getting here at the website lately, they can be answered simply by referring to the Quran and Sunnah. Also, as believing Muslims, it is our duty to always be prepared for death. And what is meant by this is, nobody knows when Allah will take your soul. So we should always be prepared by seeking forgiveness for our sins, asking Allah to forgive us for our sins, and repenting for the bad things that we do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to seek forgiveness from Allah at least 70 times a day. And he was a prophet, which meant he was incapable of committing sins. But even still, he used to seek Allah's forgiveness at least 70 times a day. Don't be a person who falls victim to the shaitan, where shaitan makes you think that you're going to live forever, where shaitan makes you keep putting off repenting for your sins. And before you know it, you have the angel of death staring at you and you haven't repented for anything. It's too late then. Every one of us should be living as if today is our last day. If we all would live that way, then we would think twice before we violate Allah's laws. We would think twice before we commit sins. We would think twice before we put off repentance. Because again, this is how the shaitan entraps us, and this is how the shaitan leads us astray. Remember, we all have a jinn assigned to us. We all have a jinn assigned to us. And that's his job, to take us away from the straight path, to get us to commit sin, to get us to become negligent in our obligations to Allah, to get us to become an extremist. extremist, which thinks that everything is haram. An extremist who goes around making unlawful what Allah made lawful. This is what Shaitan does to us. And the way to fight him off is by sticking to the middle path and following the Quran and the Sunnah. Okay? I want to stop right here for today. And then tomorrow we're going to go over the next part of this book, these articles, which talks about how to purify your heart from the whisperings of Shaitan. Since we know that the way to fight the Shaitan is by sticking to the Quran and Sunnah, we then want to move to the next level, which is how do we purify our heart from his beckoning, from Shaitan's beckoning. And how do we recognize the deceptive devices or the deceptive ways that Shaitan comes to us and tries to get us to go against the Quran and Sunnah? Okay, so we're going to stop right here for today. And if you guys have any questions, inshallah, I'll go ahead and ask them. And as for that person that keeps coming here, I'm telling you guys, we are not a Dear Abby website. Any personal problems you have in your marriages with your man, your woman, take it to your imam. Don't bring it here to us because we don't have the tolerance for it or the patience or the time. Okay? If you have any questions, go ahead and ask them.